All right, good morning. Like Savannah said, my name is Zach, and I love Jesus. So I'm excited to just go through God's Word together with you guys. I'm going to start with a question. Who here loves their Bible? You can raise your hand if you want. Okay, that's good. A lot of you guys love your Bible. That's especially good news because we're going to read a lot of it today. So hopefully you guys don't mind reading a lot of God's Word. I don't know if I'll be able to compete with Ben Howard, who went through all of Ruth really well a couple weeks ago. But we do have 49 verses in front of us that we've got to get through. So if you brought your Bible today, you can turn to Acts 10. We're going to go through the entire chapter here. And if you're new here this summer, we've just been doing standalone sermons every week. And I was praying through what to share this week. I've got the whole Bible to choose from. And I felt like the Lord put Acts 10 specifically on my heart. And just some things that I felt like he showed me when I was reading just one-on-one with him maybe a year or so ago. So like I said, you can go ahead and turn to Acts 10. We'll go through it. We'll read through it. I'll summarize, and then we'll just kind of pull some key takeaways, some important things from the story. So before we get into anything, though, I'm going to go ahead and pray. So you can bow your heads if you'd like. Jesus, we love you. And we just thank you that, like we were just singing a couple minutes ago, that you were the lamb that was slain for us. And you are so worthy. You're so worthy of us to just set our eyes on this morning, to just focus on this morning. And I just pray, Holy Spirit, that you would just come and you would just teach us from your word. God, that you would bring conviction into us. And God, we just pray ultimately for your presence and just for your revelation this morning. And we pray this all in your name, Jesus. Amen. So we're going to be going through Acts 10, like I mentioned. And my goal really is just to kind of stir us up, to encourage us to live missionally. Before we get into Acts 10, though, just a little bit of background. The beginning of Acts starts with Jesus ascending into heaven. He's risen from the dead. He ascends into heaven. We have Pentecost in Acts chapter 2. Peter preaches the gospel. Thousands of people get saved. And we start to see what Jesus told his disciples to do, to carry the gospel outside of Jerusalem to Samaria and to the ends of the earth. We start to see that play out in the early chapters of Acts. And when we pick up here in Acts 10, one of our main characters, Peter, he is actually, he's coming from a city close to where our story, part of our story is going to take place today. He actually just got done raising somebody from the dead. And like I said, things are really starting to expand. God's doing miracles. The church is starting to really grow and explode. And we see a big milestone here in Acts chapter 10. So I'm going to start reading. Like I said, we got a decent amount of scripture to get through. We're going to start in verse 1. At Caesarea, there is a man named Cornelius, a centurion of what was known as the Italian cohort, a devout man who feared God with all his household, gave alms generously to the people, and prayed continually to God. About the ninth hour of the day, he saw clearly in a vision an angel of God come in and say to him, "Cornelius." And he stared at him in terror and said, "What is it, Lord?" And he said to him, "Your prayers and your alms have ascended as a memorial before God. And now send men to Joppa and bring one Simon, who is called Peter. He is lodging with one Simon, a tanner, whose house is by the sea." When the angel who spoke to him had departed, he called two of his servants and a devout soldier from among those who attended him. And having related everything to them, he sent them to Joppa. The next day, as they were on their journey and approaching the city, Peter went up to the housetop on about the sixth hour to pray. And he became hungry and wanted something to eat. But while they were preparing it, he fell in a trance and saw the heavens opened and something like a great sheet descending, being let down by its four corners upon the earth. In it were all kinds of animals and reptiles and birds of the air. And there came a voice to him, "Rise, Peter, kill and eat." But Peter said, "By no means, Lord, for I've never eaten anything that is common or unclean." And the voice came to him again a second time, "What God has made clean, do not call common." This happened three times, and the thing was taken up at once to heaven.
Now, while Peter was inwardly perplexed as to what the vision that he had seen might mean, behold, the men who were sent by Cornelius, having made inquiry for Simon's house, stood at the gate and called out to ask whether Simon, who is called Peter, was lodging there. And while Peter was pondering the vision, the Spirit said to him, "Behold, three men are looking for you. Rise and go down and accompany them without hesitation, for I have sent them." And Peter went down to the men and said, "I am the one you're looking for. What is your reason for coming?" And they said, "Cornelius, a centurion, an upright and God-fearing man, who is well respected of by the whole Jewish nation, was directed by a holy angel to send for you to come to his house and to hear what you have to say." So he invited them to be his guest. The next day, he rose and went away with them. Some of the brothers from Joppa accompanied him. And on the following day, they entered Caesarea. Cornelius was expecting them and had called together his relatives and close friends. When Peter entered, Cornelius met him and fell down at his feet and worshiped him. But Peter lifted him up, saying, "Stand up, I too am a man." And as he talked with him, he went in and found many persons gathered. And he said to them, "You yourselves know how unlawful it is for a Jew to associate or to visit anyone of another nation. But God has shown me that I should not call any person common or unclean. So when I was sent for, I came without objection. I asked then, 'Why have you sent for me?' And Cornelius said, 4 days ago, about this hour, I was praying in my house at the ninth hour, and behold, a man stood before me in bright clothing and said, 'Cornelius, your prayer has been heard and your alms have been remembered before God. Send therefore to Joppa and ask for Simon, who is called Peter. He is lodging in the house of Simon, a tanner, by the sea. So I sent for you at once, and you have been kind enough to come. Now, therefore, we are all here in the presence of God to hear all that you have been commanded by the Lord.' So Peter opened his mouth and said, 'Truly, truly I understand that God shows no partiality, but in every nation, anyone who fears him and does what is right is acceptable to him. As for the word that he sent to Israel, preaching good news of peace through Jesus Christ, he is Lord of all. You yourselves know what happened throughout all Judea, beginning from Galilee after the baptism that John proclaimed, how he anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power. He went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. And we are witnesses of all that he did in both the country of the Jews and in Jerusalem. They put him to death by hanging him on a tree, but God raised him on the third day and made him to appear, not to all people, but to us who have been chosen by God as witnesses, who ate and drank with him after he rose from the dead. And he commanded us to preach to people and testify that he is the one appointed by God to judge the living and the dead. To him all the prophets bear witness that everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins through his name." While Peter was still saying these things, the Holy Spirit fell on all who heard the word. And the believers from among the circumcised, the Jewish people, who had come with Peter were amazed, because the gift of the Holy Spirit was poured out on even the Gentiles. For they were hearing them speak in tongues and extolling God. Then Peter declared, "Can anyone withhold water from baptizing these people who have received the Holy Spirit just as we have?" And he commanded them to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. Then he asked them to remain for some days. All right, pretty cool story. A lot of scripture there. So, in case you guys didn't wake up this morning and look at a map of Israel, I've got a map for us as we walk through the summary of our story. The story starts off with this guy named Cornelius. He's up in Caesarea. It's right along the coast right there. And this angel in a vision comes to him and says, in short terms, "Hey, Cornelius, you have been seen by God, and there's this guy named Peter that you should go send for because he has an important message for you." So Cornelius gets some of his guys, and he sends them down to Joppa. It looks like it should be pronounced Joppa. The internet said it was Jaffa or Jaffa. I don't really know, so don't judge me. But they send down to Joppa, and as soon as they get to Joppa, Peter is actually, he's just done having this vision with the Lord, where there's a sheet with animals that are coming down from heaven, and the Lord tells Peter to eat these animals, and Peter's like, no, I'm not going to eat anything unclean. He knows his Levitical law. And the Lord says, what I have made clean, don't call common. And this happens three times.
And almost immediately after that, these men that came down from Caesarea, they are at the gate of this place that Peter is staying. And Peter is, it says the Spirit tells Peter, hey, there's some guys out there. You should go with them. And you should go take this journey with them. So Peter does exactly that. And they walk back up to Caesarea. It's about a day's journey, if you were curious. 14 hours walking by Google Maps. And when Peter gets there, he says something very important. He says, you guys are Gentiles. I'm a Jewish person. A Gentile is just a non-Jewish person. He says, normally this is not something that I should do. But because God has told me that I should do it, I came and I have an important message for you. And he doesn't really say a whole lot. He only really gets a couple sentences in. And he's just sharing what he's seen Jesus do. He's being a witness. And the Holy Spirit falls on these Gentiles. And Peter immediately hyperlinks this moment back to Pentecost, where the Holy Spirit fell on the disciples. And he says, oh my gosh, the gift of God, the Holy Spirit, has fallen on even these Gentiles. What we should baptize them. This is clear that God is inviting them in and has saved them. So, a pretty cool story. And like I said, today we're just going to walk through a couple of main points, just some things that I think that we can glean from, that we can learn from. And the first is this. And normally when you hear a sermon on Acts chapter 10, this is probably the context for it. And it is that the Gentiles are in. The Gentiles are now broadly invited into God's kingdom. This is a pretty big deal. The invitation to come into God's family has been broadly opened to everybody. And this is a big deal because I'm willing to bet most people in this room, if not everybody, we are Gentiles. We're not ethnically Jewish. If you are ethnically Jewish, maybe you can tell me how to pronounce that city that starts with a J. You can find me afterwards. But one of the things that God told Abraham, this is not a new thing. Peter was a little bit surprised here, but even all the way back to Genesis 12, God tells Abraham that he says that I want to bless you, and through you, in you, I should say, all the families of the earth shall be blessed. All the families of the earth shall be blessed. So from the beginning, God has this heart and this picture of all families of the earth being brought into his kingdom. And we even see that happen specifically in Revelation 7. We get this picture of the throne room, and every nation, tribe, and tongue is there. But when we look at Jesus' ministry, he honestly spent a lot of time with Jewish people. Like, that's who he spent a lot of his time with. So this moment here in Acts, this is a really big deal. This is actually one of the dominoes, one of the big milestones that starts to send the gospel even further to the ends of the earth, because the invitation is open. And I want to say this, that if God's heart, which we see in this story, is for every person, for every nation, tribe, and tongue to be there in that throne room, that should be our heart as well. It's something I'm pretty passionate about. Every nation getting to hear the good news of Jesus and coming to follow him. And we have a really great opportunity on the college campus that we live on here. The mission field that we have in front of us is so strategic. I was looking at the stats the other day. I think there's 200 nations represented on our campus, which is crazy. And that's a big deal. That is a really big deal. I think that's an opportunity we should really value. Because like I said, God's heart is for people from every nation, tribe, and tongue. And we have them on our doorstep right here. So I don't know, just maybe shape some of your perspective. This is a good opportunity in front of us. All right, the next point is, it's not a big deal, but it's kind of fun. All meat is clean. Praise God. Bacon, pork, crab, lobster, alligator. I was planning a bachelor party recently and learned that you can buy an alligator online. It's like $100. If you want an alligator, you can eat alligator.
Thank you, Lord, for delicious food.
This passage is often used to show this, and it makes sense. Jesus also spoke on this back in Mark 7. Jesus said, "Do you not see that whatever goes into a person from outside cannot defile him, since it enters not his heart but his stomach, and is expelled? Thus he declared all foods clean." And he said, "What comes out of a person is what defiles him." So Jesus actually spoke on this as well, but this is another example of God showing that all meat is clean. So thank you, Lord. Maybe you can go home, eat some bacon, and just be thankful for the Lord for that. But back to Peter. Peter is seeing this vision, and he's thinking animals. That's what his mind is set on. But the Lord is trying to do something bigger, something more. He's actually trying to open Peter's eyes to prepare him. And Peter actually, he says this in verse 28. He says that you yourselves know how unlawful it is for a Jew to associate with or to visit anyone of another nation. But God has shown me that I should not call any person common or unclean. So God was speaking to Peter through this vision that, hey, I'm going to do something big in the Gentiles here, and I want you to be a part of it. That actually leads me into the next point here. And that point is, God speaks. The Holy Spirit speaks to us. This is another big deal. The God who created the universe, the God who sees us and knows everything, he speaks to us. This is so cool. And I'll hit on this more in a minute, but God has given us a role and a purpose while we're here on this earth. And it's to love him, and it's to advance his kingdom on the earth. He gave us a really big mission. He said, "Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you." This is a big task. This is a really, really big task. Make disciples of all nations, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. But thankfully, the Holy Spirit, he helps us. He leads us into accomplishing that mission. There's countless examples in Scripture of this happening. I just picked out a few really clear ones. One of the first examples of this is from Acts chapter 8. This is with Philip and the Ethiopian eunuch. The Spirit tells Philip, "Go over to the eunuch's chariot." And our story today, in Acts chapter 10, Peter is pondering this vision, and the Spirit specifically says to Peter, "Go to these three men, they are looking for you." John hit on this scripture last week talking about fasting, but in Acts 13, before Paul and Barnabas get sent out on their first missionary journey, it's actually the Holy Spirit that speaks and says, "Hey, I want you guys to set apart for me Paul and Barnabas." At this point, it is Saul, but he eventually becomes Paul. This really isn't a main point that I want to focus on today, but I do think it would be important just to mention like a couple practical ways that I think we can hear from God. The first being conviction. Jesus says that one of the roles of the Holy Spirit is he's going to convict us concerning sin and righteousness. I think he also just convicts us he just gives us a conviction to go and do certain specific things or to just be obedient in certain ways. Could be a picture or a vision that comes to mind. We see this example in our story today with the sheet. It could be a dream. There's lots of examples in Scripture of God speaking to people, his people, through a dream. I've had some pretty specific, powerful dreams from the Lord that really shifted the way, the decisions that I made in my life. And I think a lot of times it just looks like we know that we know that God is asking us to do something. I think we kind of overcomplicate it a little bit, but we just know that we know that God is asking us to do something or that he wants us to do something. And while it is true that God speaks to us, it is so important that we know his written word, because his voice will never contradict his written word. And we should be people, I hope we are as a church, that really know his word. And we're able to use that to be rooted in and discern God's voice. One of the values of our church that Grant preached through a couple weeks ago was Holy Spirit responsiveness. And man, I really want to be someone who just has a sensitive voice to the Spirit and is obedient to it. And I hope we as a church are sensitive to the Spirit's voice and is obedient to it. All right, is this making sense so far? We're going to get into to some good stuff here. The next point, a little bit more important than clean meat, it's this. God partners with us. This is actually where I want to spend a decent amount of time. He partners with us. He brings us into his mission. Obviously, God is God. He's God. He can do what he wants. He's the potter. We are the clay. Jesus is our shepherd. We are sheep. But for some reason, God has chosen to partner with us to accomplish his kingdom advancing here on the earth. He doesn't need us, but he wants us, and he chooses to bring us in. And it is so obvious in this story. If you look at all of what God has orchestrated for Cornelius' family to be saved, it's like, it is crazy. He is like moving, he's like doing things here, he's doing things here, he's doing things here. If we start with Cornelius' angelic encounter, Peter actually describes this in the next chapter of Acts when he's recounting the story to another group of people. He says in Acts 11:13, it says, "And he told us how he had seen the angel," this is Cornelius, "stand in his house and say, 'Send to Joppa and bring Simon, who is called Peter. He will declare to you a message by which you will be saved, you and your household.'" This is crazy. The angel is standing right there in this vision, telling, having a conversation with Cornelius. He could easily have said everything that Peter came and said, but he didn't. He just says, "Go get Peter," because Peter should be a part of this. God wanted Peter to come and do that. Peter, on the other hand, he has this vision and this prompting from the Spirit to go to this random guy who is over a day's journey away, to go, and on, oh, by the way, to go get to him, you're going to go walk with a couple of other random guys. And you're not really supposed to be with these Gentiles, but you should go. God is like crafting this plan all for Peter to get there and really not do a whole lot, to be honest. He just says a couple sentences, and then the Holy Spirit falls and starts speaking in tongues and praising God, and people get baptized. But God just orchestrates his plan, and he brings Peter into it. He partners with us to accomplish his will on the earth. And that kind of thinking changes things. That like really shifts my perspective on when I go to work, or like when I'm walking through a Kroger, or when I'm going into like Thanksgiving with my extended family. It really shifts my thinking. I have a responsibility. I have a role to play. And there's so many stories in the Bible of God partnering with his people. He wants us involved. This is so cool. He wants us involved. We get to play a part in his story. You can look back even to the second chapter of Genesis. Genesis 2:19, it says, "Now the Lord had formed out of the ground all the wild animals and all the birds in the sky. He brought them to the man to see what he would name them. And whatever the man called each living creature, that was its name." That's pretty cool. Even the very beginning, God is bringing animals to man, and man plays a part in naming the animals. God wants to be working with us. And one of my favorite scriptures in the Bible, it's 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, it says, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away, and behold, the new has come. All of this is from God, who through Christ reconciled us to himself and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting to us the message of reconciliation. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, God making his appeal through us. We implore you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God." This scripture blows my mind. God makes his appeal to the world through us. That's a huge responsibility. That's so cool. Like I said, this should shift our perspective on things. The lost neighbor across the street, I play a role in them following Jesus. The lost classmate, you play a role in them walking in freedom and life with Jesus. The random guy on the street who's suffering from addiction to drugs and alcohol, we play a role in them knowing the hope and the love of a father. When someone is hurt or sick, we play a role in praying for healing. When someone is stuck in sin, we play a role in them coming to freedom. We play a role. We have a responsibility to see and partner with the Lord for his kingdom to advance. And like I said, we're special and not special, right? Like the Lord is the Lord, and he doesn't need us, but he chooses to work with us. And he can work outside of us. But so many examples in scripture, he's partnering with us. We are involved. And there's an interesting detail that I saw reading this, and it's in verse 34. When Peter first gets to Caesarea, it says that Peter opened his mouth and said, he opened his mouth and began to speak. The way that God has designed his gospel message to be shared is through speaking, is through sharing. We actually have to like open our mouths and say something, which can be really intimidating sometimes. But that's just that's how God designed this message to be shared. He didn't put it up in the sky for us. He didn't have an angel come just blatantly share it with everybody. But he's designed us to be people that will share that. And we have to open our mouth and say things. My neighbor, I've been in my house for about a year now. I can't say this about a lot of people, but I can say that I've loved him pretty well. I've listened to him. I've shared a lot of my tools with him. I've given him a weed whacker. It was actually Will's weed whacker. Sorry, Will. But I haven't actually opened my mouth and like had a spiritual conversation with him. I haven't given him an invitation to respond to Jesus. I haven't shared what Jesus has done in my life. I need to do that. Like I've loved him well, sure, and that's great. I've given him someone else's weed whacker, but I just need to actually open my mouth and share. I need to open my mouth and say something. And I think a lot of times it's just uncomfortable and we don't want to do it, but God works in it. When we do it, God works. He shows up. I want to say this, that living missionally, and when I say living missionally, I just mean that we're looking and taking opportunities to see God's kingdom advance in someone's life. When we're doing that, obedience is success. Obedience is success. We are so easily swayed by the outcome of things. It's so easy for us to look at how someone responds to what we've done and use that to judge if we should or should not have done it. Obedience is success. We cannot judge something by the outcome. That kind of thinking is just really easy for us to fall into. If my goal is just to love people and live from an identity as an ambassador, as a son of God, I won't be shaken by someone rejecting what I have to say. I won't be shaken by no like visible outcome in the moment. We cannot be people that live for results. We have to live from obedience to the Father. And when we're living missionally, where we're sowing seeds, we have no idea how God is going to use that seed that we've planted. I heard a story, maybe it was like a year or two ago. Someone in our church was doing evangelism on campus during Welcome Week, and this person went up to a table of like four or five people and just shared the gospel with them. We got in a spiritual conversation, shared the gospel with them, and they weren't really rude or anything like that. They were like, no thanks, we're good. But later that night, they actually were all together and they were making fun of this person that had come up to them and shared the gospel with them. And while they're doing that, there's another girl
who's off to the side, and she hears them making fun of this person, but something's stirring in her. She's interested. So interested that she comes to the first Sunday service here at H2O, finds that guy who shared the gospel with people, and gets connected, and starts a thriving relationship with Jesus. That's so cool. We have no idea how God is going to use a seed that we have planted. In that moment, it was just okay, great. That person can move on to the next thing. But God was stirring in people and used that seed to bring someone into a thriving relationship with Jesus. We just have such a good opportunity while we're here on this earth to see God's kingdom advance, to partner with him. I'm going to close here in a second. Worship team, you can come up and start to make your way up. Paul uses this phrase in one of his letters to the Corinthians. He says that I will spend and be spent for the sake of souls. I will spend and be spent for the sake of souls. Living outside ourselves is so much better than pursuing the riches and the comforts of this life. It is so much better. And it's a constant struggle. I feel like the struggle intensifies the older I get, the more responsibility that I have on my plate. There's a constant struggle of living sacrificially for other people and pursuing comforts and riches and the wealth of the world. And there can just be such a strong temptation to show up here on a Sunday, to maybe come on a Thursday and just consume and be a spectator. But God has not designed us to be spectators. He's designed us to be participators. He wants us involved. Like I said, if you are a Christian, if you are following Jesus, you were designed to participate. You were designed to play. You're designed to be active. You're not a bench player. I really don't think the normal Christian life should be boring. I really don't think it should be boring. You will never regret investing in someone to see the kingdom advance in their life. It is always worth it. Even if it feels inconvenient in the moment, it is always worth it. So man, I really hope that we, like I said, my goal today was really just one thing, and that's to stir up almost like a healthy burden of the responsibility that we play while we're here on this earth. To just partner with the Lord, to see his kingdom advance. So I'm going to go ahead and just pray for us here. Jesus, we love you. And thank you that you have just brought us into your mission. Thank you that you have given us new life. Like that scripture says in 2 Corinthians, that the old has passed away, and behold, the new has come. We are new creations. Thank you that you have designed us to be active laborers for your kingdom. And we just pray, Holy Spirit, that there would just be just new understanding unlocked in our hearts and our minds. We pray that you would just fill us with boldness to take risk, to be obedient to things that you're asking us to step into, Lord. Life with you is so much better. Your purpose and will for our life is so much better than anything else that we could choose or go after. So we just thank you, we praise you, and we just pray that we would just encounter you in this next worship set. I pray this all in your name. Amen.